Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete, while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Coming up, we'll talk to Ray Woodson about the Giants' dramatic Monday night win over the Dodgers. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, Ray, the Giants, their backs to the wall, even though it's mid-August and there's still, 6 weeks left in the season. A huge series against the Dodgers. And, of course, game one is so important. And what a great pitching matchup with Madison Bumgarner and Clayton Kershaw. And just as advertised, those guys are throwing up zeros. And it's a game where the Giants are trailing 2-1 going to the ninth inning, and they're down to their final strike, and they end up winning it in dramatic fashion. Alexander just couldn't get it done, and the clutch hit of Nick Hundley, really the difference there that gave the Giants the lead. It was pretty amazing. I don't know that I saw that coming, and you wonder if that's the kind of win that can catapult the Giants to something better. It hasn't done it all year. They haven't followed up a win, any kind of a dramatic win, with a nice streak, but if there was a game that really meant something to them this year, it was this one, and they got it done.
Well, yeah, it's the most meaningful win of the season for the Giants. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Now, what it means going forward, we'll see, you know, the next few weeks. Who knows if they'll be able to, you know, release the magnetic force of the 500 mark. They're 500 again for, the 20th time this year, and it just so happens that nobody's run away with the National League West, and injuries for a lot of teams have played a big part of that. So here they are, five games back, and they feel like they got a shot, and they got a big win on a night where Clayton Kershaw was pitching in L.A. That's significant. We'll see if it has any kind of spillover effect to these next few games, but it's got to buoy spirits in that clubhouse where it's, you know, been a grind this year, and it's been one step forward, one step back all year long, and they've dealt with a lot of injuries. So, you know, for this moment, for right now, yeah, it's a big win. What they do in the next 6 weeks will give it a lot more context, but if they happen, and it's still a long shot, if they happen to make the postseason, this game will be remembered. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, Clayton Kershaw went 8. Then they go to Scott Alexander. Thank you very much. However, he was within a strike of closing it out, and it didn't happen. And that's got to be a gut punch for the Dodgers.
Absolutely. You know, they definitely miss Kenley Jansen. There's no doubt about that. And it's another situation, Ray, where teams have pitchers that are going fairly deep into games, but they're not finishing the game. And then it comes down to the bullpen, and a lot of the bullpens are not getting it done around baseball. We've seen it where the starter, you know, he runs out of pitches. In this case, Kershaw goes 8 innings. I mean, he only allowed the one run, but he threw 110 pitches, and there's just no way that Dave Roberts is going to throw him out there in the ninth inning. I mean, I know it's an important game, but 110 pitches, that not many managers would say, hey, go out there and try to finish this up. If he was under 100, maybe, but that's just not going to happen, I think, at 110.
Yeah, and then the counter-argument is Alexander got to the last out, last strike, and it just didn't happen for him as Slater got hit. And, you know, that was, for a moment there, I thought that was a bad break because it looked like it was going to be a wild pitch and a run would have scored that way. But in the end, Nick Hundley got maybe the biggest hit of the season as a pinch hitter. And so far this year, by the way, 5-for-12 as a pinch hitter. He's done such a great job as a backup to Buster Posey. And, you know, then Max Muncy error, Pence got a big hit, and it all unraveled. And it reminded me a little bit, and I know I'm picking a scab here, of game four of the 2016 NLDS. Matt Moore going great. And then they decide to go to the bullpen in the ninth, and they couldn't find an answer. You know, and much bigger stakes there. Of course, the season was over. In this case, the season gets new life, I think, for the Giants. And they feel like they've got to take two out of three in L.A. So to get a game where you beat Kershaw, and yes, 110 pitches, you know, pretty important ninth inning there. There's no doubt about that. But the handbook says for managers to pull their starter, and that's great when you have Kenley Jansen down there. But you don't have Kenley Jansen down there now. So that's got to influence in the future what Dave Roberts does in those situations. Because, yeah, I know Kershaw has a lot of mileage. They want to be careful with him. But some ninth innings are more important than others, especially swing games against divisional rivals. So it'll be very interesting to see if a similar situation comes up in the future. And Dave Roberts can't rely on a closer that if he ask Kershaw to go at least an extra out or two and see what happens. See if he can get through a quick ninth inning. And, you know, 120 pitches, is that a killer these days? Apparently it is, because managers manage like they're afraid of the criticism of having a guy go that long. And, of course, down the road, if the pitcher gets hurt, the critics will say, see. But, you know, for one game that important, I don't know if it's such a bad move to have your ace who's been pitching lights out, you know, stay out there and see if he can get a quick out or two. But I'm sure that's being chewed over on Sports Talk Radio in L.A., such as it is. But, you know, that's what makes baseball. Fans can second guess along with the managers. But the bottom line is they don't have Kenley Jansen now. They're moving Stripling and Maeda to the bullpen. I don't know if that's going to be a replacement for Jansen, who has just been as close to a sure thing as you have at a closer in Major League Baseball the last few years. He's got 200 saves in the last five seasons, Joe. And that's not even five seasons, you know, with a month and a half left in this season. And so he's got a very serious issue he's got to deal with. And the Dodgers might have to think about getting another arm, late inning arm for the bullpen and a waiver deal if they can.
Yeah, I mean, I think I saw on social media a lot of Dodger fans were going after Dave Roberts for not bringing in Stripling or Maeda. But, I mean, those guys are starters that just got put in the bullpen.
Yeah.
I don't think they're equipped really to come in and try to close out a game. It is a different animal, and Jansen is great at it. And he's got that cutter. And that was the thing I was thinking about, that cutter for pitchers who can develop it. And, you know, even the guys who used to blow you away, like Kershaw and others, when they develop the cutter, look out. Because, I mean, if they know how to throw it the right way, and Bumgarner too, they were both using that pitch so effectively. And that's really what led them to pitch so well, because they don't have the same velocity anymore.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's just been a surefire pitch for Jansen, as it was for Mariano Rivera, as it is now for Bumgarner and Kershaw. Those two are sitting at 91, 92 now, right? Maybe 90, 91.
Yeah.
They're not throwing as hard as they used to. Kershaw, certainly not. So he's got to lean on that cutter more, and it's been a very effective pitch for him, as well as a curveball. I think he got a strikeout on a changeup as well. So he's mixing things up a whole lot more. And as you get later in your career, and again, with the mileage that he's logged, the mileage that Bumgarner's logged, you have to adjust a little bit. And this is how you can stay in the major leagues and be effective. Maybe not quite as dominant as before, although Kershaw's still pretty damn good. But, that's part of the evolution of a pitcher if they want to have a long career.
You know, a decision that was made that really worked out, we already talked about how Hundley was the hero with the base hit that put the Giants in front, the clutch hit. But at the time, I was raising my eyebrows a little bit because Hanson was the batter. And, you know, I really like Hanson. I think he's a clutch hitter. The thing about him, though, is that he's so much better from the left side than he is from the right side. He would have been hitting from the right side. So Bruce Bochy pinch hits for him. It turns out to be a great move. But I still thought, man, I don't know, Hanson, even, you know, as a right-handed batter, I always like his chances. But Hundley, you know, he is a veteran guy, and he did such a great job with that pitch. He was sort of on the inner half, and he just went the other way with it.
Yeah, and on the television broadcast, Mike Krukow had a great point about facing sinker ball pitchers like Alexander. And, you know, he can throw 93, 94 with a hard sink. You go up there with an inside-out approach, and that way you're not breaking the bat as often, at least you hope, and you're not hitting grounders, and Alexander's game is ground balls. And that pitch was up a little bit, but heading toward the inner half, and that inside-out swing was perfect for that pitch. And he had a line shot to right center. and a couple runs scored. And it was, you know, I mean, it's an overused phrase, but that was a professional at bat by a professional who's been around a long time and knows how to approach this situation. So they had the right guy up, I think.
Yeah. I mean, Hanson, I'm looking at the splits right now. As a right-handed batter, 231. As a left-handed batter, 296.
Yeah.
So, you know, Bruce Bochy knows that. Made the right move right there. But, you know, Hanson was in the game because Crawford got hurt. And that was really a scary collision that he had with Gorkys Hernandez. He hit his head on Gorky's, looked like his kneecap. And he took an at-bat. He kind of didn't look like himself. And now he's in concussion protocol. And we'll find out more today. But we know how scary that is, how uncertain that is. We've seen it happen with other Giants players. Of course, this year with Mac Williamson. We've seen it happen with Joe Panik and Brandon Belt. And, you know, kind of a list there. Fortunately, it was okay for Buster Posey. He went through the concussion protocol. He was okay. Same with Nick Hundley. Both of those guys went through that this year. They were okay, and hopefully it's the same thing for Crawford.
Yeah, we've had so many players go through that this year. This is, you know, the part that we do need to talk about. As big a win as that was last night, could end up being very costly. You know, we don't know with concussions how a player is going to respond over the next several days. I mean, you have one end of the spectrum with Posey and the other end with Mac Williamson, who it looks like is going to be out for the year. And it's just another tough break for that guy who just can't get, untracked and getting regular playing time in the major leagues. With Crawford, you know, it's a huge loss if he's not in there for a period of time. So as big a win as that was, you know, you hope it doesn't cause long-term damage by losing maybe your most valuable player in Brandon Crawford. And that play, first of all, you look at the replay, it's amazing how much ground both players covered, Crawford and Gorkys Hernandez, to get to that flip shot by Kershaw. I mean, it was a duck snort. It was placed perfectly to where, you know, it was most difficult and lowest percentage shot for either guy to catch it, right down the line. And, you know, it was one of those plays where it was hard for anybody to call anybody off. I mean, just two guys going at it 100 miles an hour. And then Gorkys Hernandez had to try to hold up, and he just couldn't. It's just one of those plays that nobody could have prevented. And unfortunately, somebody had to go through concussion protocol because of it. But Crawford darn near caught that ball. It would have been an absolutely amazing play, but we've been used to that for Crawford. I mean, we take for granted some of the plays and the stops and throws he makes, and they're not going to have that now for a period of time. So, you know, that's quite significant.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that in real speed, and he was really flying towards that baseball. You're right, and it was scary. And, I'm not sure, you know, who knows what happens. But fortunately, they do have Hanson, who can play the position, although he's not the greatest defensive shortstop. But he can hit, and, you know, if they need him for a period of time, at least they know that.
Well, you hope so. I mean, you hope it's a short period, and you can get by, you know, for three or four games or whatever the case may be. But, you know, these are huge games. You're playing the Dodgers. You know, so it's a big loss for the next couple of days for the Giants. But, you know, I mean, if Hanson's able to get hot, you know, they may have to call somebody up as well, and they may have made a move that I'm not aware of already. But, you know, it's going to hurt them. There's no doubt about it. Now, you'll probably see some more at-bats for Panic now. We could talk about that, too. I mean, Joe Panic at the start of the year homered off of Kershaw, right? He's the first player to have the only run accounted for by a home run in a 1-0 game in consecutive games at the very start of the year against the Dodgers. And we were joking at the time he was on pace for 162 home runs. Well, it hasn't worked out that way for him this year. It's been an injury-plagued season, and he's dealt with concussions in the past. And you saw him in the dugout during the game. They had a camera shot of him, and you could just see he was grinding. He was chewing nails. He should be in there. That's what he's thinking. He's an everyday player, and to have to sit against a lefty, especially in a marquee game like this against Kershaw, it's got to hurt your pride. And, you know, I saw him in the last homestand toward the end against the Pirates take better swings. I think this is a guy they're absolutely going to need to have and be right down the stretch if they have any hope of making the playoffs.
Well, I agree. He looked like he was perpetually seething over there. You're right.
And
and I think that with Panic, I think one of the reasons that his batting average is down to 236 is that he's not hitting line drives, ground balls. He's hitting the ball in the air a little too much. That's when he gets in trouble. Yeah. And, you know, I don't go back to really the home runs earlier in the year. It's more just something's going on with him, maybe trying to do too much. Yeah, he did miss a lot of time. He had the hand injury. Then he had the groin injury. But if he can get back to himself, and there's no doubt in my mind that he can, because this guy, he's such a consistent line drive hitter usually, and you can't usually strike him out. They need him. I mean, they're definitely going to need him to come through. I mean, it's nice to have other guys that can fill in, and certainly Chase Darnold. It was funny with him because he struck out his first three times. He couldn't have looked more overmatched, and then he comes up with that base hit that started the rally
That's right.
The ninth inning. So, yeah, he's a valuable guy. The guys that have filled in are really valuable, but you still need Panic to be himself.
You need Panic and Crawford. You need that double play combination. You need that defense up the middle, as well as the consistency at the plate that you're used to getting from Panic, and it hasn't been there all year. And you're right. I think maybe he's been trying to do too much and get back to his game. Like I said, I thought I saw a little more of that, you know, over a couple of at-bats toward the end of the homestand against the Pirates. So, you know, it's, he probably feels like, man, I'm just getting my swinging and my timing down again, and they got to pull me against the lefty. That's got to chap your hide if you're a player like Panic, who's accomplished some things in this game, who's been a gold glover, who's got a couple of rings, you know? I mean, or has one ring. I have to go back and – is it one or two rings? 2012, was he there? I don't think he was there in 2012.
I think he – let's see, in 2012, I think he was there. I think he's got two.
Yeah, he's got two. I'm thinking Marco Scudero in 2012.
Right.
So, anyway, I mean, he's accomplished some things in this game. And so it's, you know, for a guy like that, especially who's still in his arbitration years, that's got to hurt. And, you know, the Giants, let's be honest about it. They're going to have a decision to make about him and several other players at the end of the season. And they might have to non-tender him because, you know, through no fault of his own, but that's the way the game is. With all the injuries, it's hurt his effectiveness. And that's borne out in what Bruce Bochy's had to do. Now, Bochy made a point of saying this is temporary. He will be back in there against lefties, but just the way he's going now. So, I mean, it's fuel to the fire for Panic.
Yeah, you're right. He has one ring because 2012 was Scudero, and 2014 is Panic. So he has one ring. That's correct there.
Okay.
Now, you know, getting back to the game, the first game of the series on Monday, and looking at the way the bullpen was used, I think this is the most effective way to close out the game. Dyson, you know, he's had his ups and downs, but seems to be pitching better. And Ray Black can really dominate you. When he's got his pitches working on the corners a little bit, or, you know, if he could throw his slider the way he did on Monday, he could be really devastating. And I don't think the Dodgers were going to be able to figure him out. He's going to be a really good weapon for Bruce Bochy the last 6 weeks of the season.
I think so, and you might see him in a closer situation down the stretch. I think that's where they're grooming him long-term. With that kind of stuff, my goodness, why wouldn't you? You know, it seems like every middle reliever nowadays throws 100. And we talked about this last week. Major league hitters are able to turn around a 9,900-mile-an-hour fastball these days. So it's still about location. I mean, Hunter Strickland learned that early in his career as well. And you've got to have a secondary pitch that's effective. So if Black is able to do that, I think this is a guy who could be a closer and very soon. You know, and then you get back to having Will Smith as a setup and Melanson as a setup, because you can't count on Melanson day to day given his physical condition. People talk about trading Melanson. You can't do that unless you're going to eat up a big chunk of the contract.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not going to happen. So they just have to keep working with him, and he'll probably be a setup guy, and maybe he'll close from time to time. But I think long-term, Ray Black's the guy they have to be looking at.
Brandon Belt is set to be back in the lineup, hopefully tonight, even though it is a left-hander on the mound. But I would think they would get him back in there after he had his little stay in Sacramento. And I was up there in Sacramento on Saturday at Raley Field, and I did talk with Brandon Belt a little bit at the batting cage, and one of the things I asked him about was facing these guys who throw 95 to 100, and he was telling me that it's not so much the velocity, because you kind of get used to that. It's the guys that have the other pitches, the off-speed pitches, the breaking pitches, and he said, you know, trying to figure out a way to not chase those when they're out of the zone, that's the hardest part of it. And you can see that. You could see that with Ray Black. Guys are trying to time his fastball. They can, but when he's throwing the slider and they're trying to lay off of it, that's the hardest part of being a good hitter in those situations.
Well, no doubt about it. You know, you can't be a one-trick pony in Major League Baseball and get by, unless you have the greatest cutter ever, which Mariano Rivera had. You know, he once in a while would go off the script, but that was his pitch, and kind of the same deal with Kenley Jansen. I'll be interested to see how that does. You know, the good news is he's standing in against see if he plays, but it's a bit of a relief that way. But yeah, that's significant. You know, with the loss of Crawford, getting this left-handed power bat, and I say power bat, I mean the numbers are, you know, as impressive as any Giants hitter this year. He's streaky, we know that, but numbers at the end of the year still look pretty good. You know, we keep saying this is the year he hits 25 or 30 home runs, and then, you know, injuries happen. And he's had some bad luck in that area. But having him back into the lineup is very helpful for the Giants, and if they can get Crawford back and healthy and Panic back and healthy, you got three lefty bats there. Now, they've loaded up the lineup against lefties because it's all lefties in this series against the Dodgers. It's the reason they got Longoria. It's the reason they got McCutcheon. To face all the lefties in the National League West, and especially with the Dodgers card out there. But be good to have some balance, too, and a little more power back in the lineup with Belt.
Well, the two lefties that are going against the Giants the next couple of days, starting with Tuesday, Alex Wood and Hyunjin Ryu coming off injuries. I mean, these guys are coming right off the DL and into the Giants series. So I'm not sure what to expect from them. But as far as the Giants are concerned, Andrew Suarez just has to get back to where he was. He has really not been pitching well. And he's going to pitch against the Dodgers for the first time in his career. There's got to be some nerves in there. But hopefully he's figured out something in his bullpen session because, man, he just has not had it. He's been getting banged around here for several starts now.
Well, it's a guy who doesn't have overwhelming stuff, and he gets too much of the plate, he's going to get hit hard. This is a huge start for him, maybe the biggest of his career so far. So, you know, it kind of balances out. I would imagine both Wood and Ryu are going to be on strict pitch counts. They're not going to go deep into this game unless, you know, the Giants just roll over and give them quick outs. And then you get to the bullpen and see what happens. And I think that's what these games are going to be about, especially against the Dodgers and your divisional rivals, you know, whose bullpen is better. That's what it comes down to, you know, in the stretch drive and in the postseason. But the Giants bullpen has been pretty good, not great. And of course, Strickland's been out and we'll see how soon he comes back. But, you know, at times it's looked pretty stout, and you throw in a guy like Moronta this year and now Ray Black looking a little better. You don't have that closer, and people are chattering their teeth when Will Smith or somebody comes in, but Smith actually hasn't been that bad. And yes, he blew the game for Rodriguez last week. He came back and got a save right after that, and then he got the save last night. So he's done enough so far. He's kind of held down the fort. They're not out of contention because of the bullpen, but you just worry about, you know, the cumulative effects of starters not going deep into games. It was, you know, Bumgarner was not his absolute sharpest last night, but hey, he gave up a duck snort for a hit and a solo home run. You really can't fault him. The only problem was he was going up against Kershaw and he left trailing 2-1. Then it came down to the bullpens. And again, you know, with Kenley Jansen out, that might be the most significant injury in the National League West this year. And I say injury, medical condition.
Yeah. You know what the best shot, in my opinion, on television was for that game last night on Monday? The Giants and Dodgers fans that were a couple, the husband and wife. It was just so funny. They're sitting next to each other wearing the full uniform, you know, the jerseys of each team, and just agonizing in a tight game like that. That was just a great shot. And, of course, the husband couldn't gloat too much there when the Giants scored the four runs in the ninth inning. He was the Giants fan because, you know, the wife is just sitting there she's just devastated by that inning. It was pretty funny to see that. And I'm sure that goes on in a lot of families where you have, not a lot, but some families, the unique ones that have a Giants fan and a Dodger fan.
How does that even happen? that must be true love, because they're able to look past their differences. And you know the guy is sitting there saying to himself, right, after the ninth inning meltdown, all right, be careful here. Don't say it.
Don't
say it.
Too excited.
Don't say it. The next word could, you know, end the marriage. But, you know, obviously, if they're rooting for rivals, they're able to look past that. That was a real test for that marriage last night, though.
It was. All right, Ray. Well, good first game of the series. Look forward to the rest of it, and we'll talk to you again next week as the Giants have this long road trip. Good start to it, though.
Yeah, this road trip will determine whether they're buyers or sellers. Well, we think it will. They could be 500 at the end of the road trip and still four games back, and then what do? You know, I mean, as far as trying to make waiver deals. And, you know, it's not as extensive when you talk about the waiver trade deadline. But, you know, then the other side of the coin is, do you put certain players on waivers, like, say, McCutcheon, or do you keep them around? Let me tell you something about McCutcheon, just real quick. I know he hasn't had a great year. He got off to a slow start. He's picked it up a little bit. That's the guy I want around in big games, okay? And if you're playing, you know, important games down the stretch, I think this is a guy they need to have. And, you know, you write his name in the lineup card every day. He's there, and he plays a solid right field for you. He had a slow start in that regard at AT&T Park, but he's gotten used to the surroundings there and has done a good job. And, no, he's not the MVP-level player he used to be. But he's still a guy I like to have on my team. He's a professional, and he shows the younger players how it's done.
Absolutely, yeah. I think he's going to have a say-so in this thing before it's all said and done. By the way, before we finish up, since we do have a couple minutes here, we didn't get a chance to talk about the Barry Bonds retirement, the number retirement ceremony. And it was pretty cool. And Willie Mays really made the headlines because he's out there with a microphone telling the writers that they should put Bonds in the Hall of Fame. What did you think about that and the whole ceremony?
Yeah, that was the newsworthy moment right there. Willie wants to talk to everybody, and he's going to talk as long as he wants to talk. And some people were getting a little worried after a while as he went on. But that was the most significant moment, I thought, that Willie came out and said that, and not surprising for his godson, but also the emotion that Barry Bonds displayed talking about his father, Bobby Bonds. And I'm going to tie this all together for you. I was thinking about this the other day. I went to a game, an Angels game in 1977. Dwayne Kuiper was playing second base for Cleveland. and the Angels won the game 1-0. I used to go to a lot of Angel games because my dad lived in Irvine. And the only run was accounted for with a home run by Bobby Bonds. All right, so that's tying it all together. Frank Tanana threw a two-hitter. That's the way the game is handed down from generations in baseball. And in the case of Bobby Bonds, you know, apparently, you know, he was a taskmaster with his son. And there were a lot of emotions you could see in there about, you know, why Bobby treated Barry the way he did as a youngster and why he was so demanding of him. And he said, you know, Dad, now I understand. And that was a pretty touching moment. I think that was a real moment. You know, we can go back and forth about the way Bonds treated the media. He was a jerk to some people. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, at that particular moment, it was rather touching, I have to say. And, you know, it's good to see, you know, those moments of humanity from guys that people tend to put up on a pedestal because of their accomplishments on the field. He's a human being with flaws. There's no doubt about it, real flaws. But this was about, appreciating his accomplishments on the field for this franchise that was about ready to move out of town. Then they had a new ownership come in, and they had to make a splash, and they made the greatest free agent signing, in Bay Area history and maybe in sports history. And, yeah, it did help build that stadium. And so this was an expression of appreciation for all that he did on the field. Yeah, for himself and, you know, for his pocketbook, but also for that franchise, why he should get his number retired. He deserved that night. And I agree with Willie Mays. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I think he has a little more gravitas in this issue than even a Joe Morgan, who otherwise I like. I just think that he's out of line or off base when he's talking about Barry Bonds in this situation. We talked about that a little bit last week. But, it's the reality of the situation is there are a lot of jerks in the Hall of Fame. There are cheaters in the Hall of Fame. But anybody who understands baseball knows what a transcendent hitter Barry Bonds was.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to see a number get retired. I mean, you're going to see more of them. I mean, I got to believe it's going to be Posey, Bumgarner. I mean, what about Lincecum? Does his number get retired? Mm-hmm. It's kind of an interesting decision right there.
I think because of the love that people have for Lincecum, He's going to get his number retired, and they're going to find a way to get a statue for him as well because of that unique pitching motion that he had. You know, he's rearing back the way he used to. You'll see that in time, and it'll be an absolute love fest when they do it for Lincecum. I have no doubt that down the road they have plans for that. So, yeah, there are a few guys. Matt Cain, for his role in this franchise's history, they're going to have a lot of numbers. They're going to be a lot of guys rolling around in the 2030s in Giants uniforms wearing like number 74 because all the lower numbers are taken.
By the way, Alexander, I think, was wearing number 75 last night for the Dodgers. I kept thinking of Barry Zito when Barry had some of his bad outings. And I was like, man, I remember looking at that number 75, just struggling out there sometimes.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Giants won't retire 75.
Although they wouldn't have won the 2012 World Series without him. I mean,
No doubt. You appreciate his role. I don't know if it rises to the level of a number retirement, though.
Right, exactly. All right, Ray, thanks for doing this. We'll talk next week.
All right, maybe they'll retire 126. That's inside joke.
That's Ray Woodson. Join us again on Thursday. We're slated to talk to Tyler Kepner from the New York Times, and he has a new book out called K, A History of Baseball in 10 Pitches. Looking forward to talking to him about that. Plus, we'll catch up with Joe Lorendi, the play-by-play announcer for the Single-A Augusta Green Jackets, the Giants affiliate in the South Atlantic League, and Melissa Lockery will catch us up on the Giants farm system as well. She's from The Athletic. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.